AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Today here on Sports TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I will be joined today by George Kurtz, not by Craig Mish. Craig Mish, we're giving him the day off. The football season coming hot and heavy. Craig, of course, will be observing the Jewish holiday taking place this week, but we have plenty of stuff going on in the world of sports. Of course, we have the Washington football team playing against the New York Giants tonight. Maybe not the most exciting game that you will ever have on a Thursday night. Maybe a good night to fall asleep at halftime. Cowboys defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks with a broken foot. I would be surprised to see him back within that timetable. I think it's more likely that he ends up not back. The Ravens choose to add Devonta Freeman to the active roster. The team also waived Trenton Cannon. So that means this weekend against Kansas City, the Baltimore Ravens backfield is going to be Tyson Williams, Latavius Murray, Devonta Freeman, and Le'Veon Bell. A lot of guys, a lot of ghosts of fantasy football passed on that backfield there. Evan Ingram has already been declared out tonight for the New York Giants. Definitely not a particularly bullish sign there. You know, we sort of expected him to miss week one and be back and active for this game, but he was not able to put a practice in. Saquon Barkley is listed as questionable. I think that he probably is going to play, but is not going to play particularly well. And George, the Yankees, Red Sox, and Toronto Blue Jays are all tied in the standings in the American League East. A very exciting divisional race. Of course, the Rays remain far ahead. How are you feeling about your New York Yankees today?
Well, I'm feeling better about the Yankees. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They're playing bad teams, right? You're playing Baltimore. They probably should have lost last night to Baltimore. They scored two runs late in the ninth inning to take that lead. Baltimore had to play the infield in because the Yankees had a runner on third with less than two outs, and Brett Gardner hit a little blooper that literally landed probably right behind shortstop. At regular depth, this is an easy out, and the Yankees win the game. These are games you have to win, but they're still not winning impressively. They're winning. It's all that matters in the end, but they got to take advantage of this. They play Baltimore again tonight. Was it Cleveland over the weekend? Texas next week before they go to Boston, which could be a huge series next weekend.
Could be a huge series. I mean, it is kind of incredible to see how close this race has gotten. I mean, the last time you and I did a show together, we weren't even talking about the Toronto Blue Jays even being close. And I asked Craig this yesterday, and I will pose the question to you today. If Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is able to win the Triple Crown, so he leads baseball in RBIs, he leads baseball in batting average, he leads baseball in home runs, and the Toronto Blue Jays make the wild card, do you think that he could, as you know, do we think that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. could win the MVP over Shohei Ohtani?
If he wins the Triple Crown, he's definitely winning the MVP award. Triple Crown happens once in a blue moon, so he'll definitely make that. The better argument would be, and it's the argument we have in almost every sport, if the Blue Jays make the playoffs, the Angels are not going to make the playoffs. I understand Ohtani's had a great year, but can you be the MVP of a team that doesn't make the playoffs or a guy who's had a fantastic season over a team that did make the playoffs? There's your argument. How much of a most valuable player are you on a team that's done? You're in October, you're done. you know, Guerrero's going to keep playing at least one extra game, the wild card game. So that's the argument there. But if he wins the Triple Crown, I don't see how he's not the MVP. I don't care what Ohtani's done. And Ohtani's had a fantastic season pitching, hitting. So I get it. But if he wins the Triple Crown, it's his.
Well, I hope you're wrong. I actually hope that the voters decide that, that you know, the Ohtani throwing the pitch does end up, you know, Ohtani being a good pitcher, not even just a pitcher, but a good pitcher is more impressive than the Triple Crown. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, clearly I am biased in this conversation because I want Ohtani to win the MVP so bad for my own, you know, personal and financial reasons. What about this game coming up tonight? We're going to talk about some of the props and spreads. But, you know, I mean, you're out there on the island. What's the attitude about the Giants there in New York right now? Does anyone actually think that the Giants are any good? Is there anyone who's still holding out hope for the New York Giants there?
Well, there's a lot of concern about the Giants, right? And we sort of knew this coming into the season. They had a rough training camp. Barkley didn't even take contact until the last week of training camp. He was listed as questionable. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Kenny Golladay came out and admitted it could be a slow start to the season because of the injuries. He was hurt. Kadarius Toney hurt. You know, the offensive line really had issues. They were in trouble there. They worried about their right tackle and Andrew Thomas. So I don't think it could be a surprise to anyone that they came out slow last week. I mean, I think every Giant fan is – I think for the Giants, Giant fans, all they're concentrating on was that fumble by Daniel Jones. Here we go again. The guy can't hold on to the football. That's what you're hearing here. I think Giant fans know this is a make-or-break year for Jones, and it didn't go all that well, you know, game one. It didn't. So they need to figure it out, and they need to figure out this season. I think the Giants made a mistake, Davis, when they passed on Justin Fields. They traded down, right? Get him and finally trades out of a first-round pick, and he may have given up their franchise quarterback in the process.
Well, I think every team that passed on Justin Fields made a pretty egregious mistake because Justin Fields is going to be a great NFL quarterback. But guys, stay tuned for the show for the rest of the day. Of course, we're going to go through the Washington football team and the New York Giants game that's going to be played on Thursday night. We got some start sits. Of course, we're going to be talking about underdog fantasy football. Jim Sanis is going to join the show in the second hour with Craig. All of that and more to help your fantasy football teams and picks against the spread. See you guys back in just a few moments as we head into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined today by George Kurtz. We are, of course, going to be focusing a lot on Thursday Night Football. We just covered some of the frustrations of the New York Giants fans there at the top of the hour, but they are playing tonight against their divisional rivals, the Washington football team. I expect that this is not going to be a particularly great game, probably one of the lowest totals that you are going to see. It is the lowest total of the week. I mean, we have just gone so far the other direction in the NFL as a whole. You know, it's much more likely to see a total over 50 as opposed to closer to 40. So, George, the line that we have here, the Giants are 3.5-point dogs against the Washington football team. They will be starting Taylor Heinicke at quarterback instead of Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Giants are plus 148 on the money line, minus 176 for the Washington football team. The over-under on this game, 40.5. Daniel Jones, Taylor Heinicke, the market is not expecting fireworks to fly in this game. George, what do you make of this contest between the Giants and the Washington football team?
Yeah, it's going to be a little tough to expect fireworks tonight. I mean, well, we already discussed the Giants in the first segment, right? They have so many issues here. There's a chance Barkley doesn't play tonight, and if he does play, it won't be anywhere near a normal level of snaps. They are protecting him coming back from the ACL injury. All right, so I don't know what they're going to get at the Giant running game. That Washington front seven is going to eat tonight. They're going to get the Jones. They're going to dominate that line. So I'm not saying the Giants put up many points at all here. The question, if you want to go for the over, is what does the Washington football team do? I was of the belief before, after last season, that the Washington football team should have gone with Heinicke as their starter. And the reason is this. This team wants to win on defense anyway. They want to play 21-14, 21-13 football games. That's how they're going to win. Their defense has to dominate. Fitzpatrick, yes, there's a higher upside than Heinicke. He'll take chances, and I think that's the problem. He would have taken chances. There were some times where he was going to put that defense in bad field position because he was going to try to throw the ball. He's going to get picked off. Stuff like going to take a sack that maybe he didn't need to take. Where Heinicke, I think, will be more of a game manager here, and I think at this point, that's what they're looking for if you can't get a better quarterback. They weren't going to be in position to draft one of the top quarterbacks coming out of the draft. So that's why I think they should have stuck with Heinicke anyway. And Heinicke, listen, he gave the Buccaneers a battle. You can make an argument. They gave the Buccaneers the best chance to lose last year in the playoffs here. So I think there's something to this kid. Not that he's going to be anything great or anything like that, but I don't know if they lose all that much going from Fitzpatrick to Heinicke. But let's face it, tonight I'm expecting a pretty boring football game.
I mean, I think you're right. I don't really think that they lose all that much. You know, I guess when Fitzpatrick has been at his best, it's not been on teams that have played like this Washington football team. You know, it's kind of been like the Buccaneers team that he was on where the defense was terrible and he had a bunch of great wide receivers and they would just lob the ball up and he had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and DeSean Jackson back on those teams. It was a much different offensive environment, and I think we saw last week against the Los Angeles Chargers that to prove true. That was a competitive game between those two teams because the Washington football team controlled the ball. They ran very well with Antonio Gibson, who I expect to kind of be the best wide receiver or the best player in this game tonight. I expect the Giants to not play very much Saquon Barkley and to kind of try to do the same thing. I actually could see this game going under that 40.5 point total. So before we get to the props here, George, let's get our picks. Do you take the Giants? Do you take Washington? Do you like the total? Do you like one of these money lines? Where are you at with the odds from the FanDuel Sportsbook?
I don't see how you could like the Giants tonight. I think the only way you like the Giants tonight is if you hate Heinicke. Just hate him. You know, you think he's going to be a bomb, which fine. Yeah, we all have our different thoughts here. I'm not taking the minus 176, and I don't feel great about Washington going in a parlay either. We're going to do it with a baseball game or even twice in this game. I'm going to take the Washington football team as far as the minus points there. And I'm going to take the under. I feel better about the under than I do about the game itself. This game smells to me like 17-13, something like that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I like the Washington football team here as well. Of course, we have to look at some of the passing props. And one thing that I've been meaning to get through on the show is I assume that lots of you guys really like to bet these lines, right? That's why you're watching Sports Grid TV. Well, it is a good idea to be focusing more of your action on props, you know, player props and things like that, as opposed to sides and totals. Always a great reminder, you know, Sunday morning comes and the FanDuel Sportsbook, they'll be taking $10,000 wagers on sides for these FanDuel NFL games, but they're definitely not taking $10,000 of action on, you know, rushing yards for Saquon Barkley. Or our first prop here, Daniel Jones over under 33.5 passing attempts. The over is minus 138. The under is plus 104. I feel comfortable taking the juice here, basically exactly what we were just talking about. We think that the Washington football team is going to run the ball a lot. We both expect them to win. Over or under 33.5 passing attempts for Daniel Jones, George?
If Barkley was healthy, I think this would definitely be an under. Because like I said, it smells like that kind of a game where it's going to be, you know, let's just keep it close. We know Washington's not going to score a bunch of points on us either. The Giants have a decent defense. They're not terrible. I know they got the 70-yard touchdown run to Gordon last week. But other than that, their defense is decent. maybe even above decent here. So I think this game is going to be that kind of game where it's going to be run and not put have put Jones in bad position here. And I don't think Washington's going to get out to a 17-0 lead where, okay, we're jumping back to pass every time here because we have no other choice here. I kind of like the under plus 104 here. That's where I'm leaning to. I'm not going to pay the overprice.
Yeah. All right. And then Taylor Heinicke, I lean the under on him. You know, I imagine that we're just going to see a lot of Antonio Gibson. I think we see some Jarrett Patterson in this game. Honestly, I think we see some JD McKissick in this game. Really would not surprise me to see Heinicke throw, you know, 26, 27 passes in this game, especially because, by the way, both of these teams play fairly slow. And that's definitely something to look at when you are betting player props is, you know, look at the projected pace for these teams. And it would not surprise me if we get to the end of the season and the New York Giants are one of like the 5 slowest teams, the Washington football team, one of the 10 slowest teams. That's just kind of the offense. That's just the way those offenses are structured. And, you know, don't forget Jason Garrett, offensive coordinator for the New York Giants. I mean, look at how good the Cowboys offense got, you know, basically the second that he left and turned the play calling over to Kellen Moore. Now we are going to take a look at some of the Thursday night football rushing yardage props. We have plenty to choose from here. I'm going to throw the first one over to you. Antonio Gibson, over under 70.5 rushing yards, minus 114 on both sides.
I'm kind of leaning over here because, once again, I think it's going to be a running game as we're sort of hinting here. I don't think if we think both quarterbacks are going to hit their unders as far as pass attempts, that means it's going to be a heavy run game. And that's what I expect in this game. I don't think either team wants to put I don't think the Giants want to put it on Jones because, yes, Jones makes mistakes, but because also too good a defense. You have to soften them up and hit your spots. Okay, this is the time now where we think we got something here where we can go over the top. So I think, once again, I like the run games of both teams here, but give me Gibson, and I'll be on his total props as far as rushing plus receiving as well tonight.
Yeah, I really like that angle. I actually, for running backs who are capable of catching passes, I prefer to do the rushing pass receiving, even if you got to add another 20, 25 yards on there, because nothing worse than feeling like you have the prop crushed, and then a guy has a 40-yard pass reception, and that just eats up a bunch of the yardage, and you're just, you know, you're miserable. All right, very important one here. Saquon Barkley over under 48.5. I'm telling you right now, I'm taking the under.
I want to take the – I would never go over on this. You couldn't pay me. Davis couldn't give me money to put on the over. I wouldn't do it. I just don't think he's going to play all that much. I don't. Under, definitely.
Yeah, there we go. All right, everyone, there was a good comprehensive look at Thursday Night Football. Again, maybe not the greatest football game of all time, but it will be a very important one, right? If the Washington football team is able to win this game, Giants are going to be 0-2. The Washington football team, they're going to have a key divisional win there. So it is going to be good to watch. Interesting to see Antonio Gibson's usage. Interesting to see Sterling Shepard and Kenny Galladay's usage for, you know, fantasy football purposes. But we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we'll be looking at some fantasy football starts or sits. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid. Break.
Your heart's racing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. Before we get into looking at some key start sits this week in fantasy football, I need to remind everyone to please follow @SportsGrid and @SportsGrid TV on Twitter. We know that it's not possible for you to be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week watching Sports Grid. I mean, look, if you want to, we're definitely not going to stop you. But all of us like to go out in the world. And when we're out in the world, we like to stay connected to our devices. I know that I'm always checking Twitter when I'm out in the world. And if you do that and you follow Sports Grid, you'll be able to see all the big line movements. You'll be able to get analysis from me, from Craig, from George, from Scott Farrell, from Ariel Epstein, and everyone inside the Sports Grid family. So make sure to follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. George, we are now moving into we're here. We are in the fantasy football season. We all just spent all of our waiver wire money on Elijah Mitchell. We all just, you know, picked up our $1 tight ends, and we got to cobble together some starting lineups. So we are going to move through start sits. We got quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. We're going to get them all done in this hour of the show. And I've cobbled together a list of some guys I don't want to start at quarterback this week, beginning with Baker Mayfield at Houston and Trevor Lawrence home to Denver. Before I give my logic, I'll just toss those to you and see if you agree with me that Baker Mayfield and Trevor Lawrence are sits at the quarterback position this week.
Oh, I think when we get questions like this, and I'm sure you get a million questions on your Twitter, I know I do, about fantasy, I always like contact. So if you guys send me this question, how about telling me who your other choice is? You know, tell me, should I sit Baker Mayfield versus Houston? Maybe. You know, I mean, who's your other choice? You know, I need to know that. I think in a vacuum, the Cleveland Browns, excuse me, want to run the football. That's what they want to do. Yes, they can throw it, but they want to run it. So I don't think Baker Mayfield's ever going to be a high-volume fantasy player where he's going to get 4 or 5 touchdowns. Yes. Could he have a game like, Jameis Winston last week, where he throws 5 touchdowns on 148 yards? Absolutely. You know, there are weird games, like outliers, that could happen like that. But generally, they want to run the football. You're going to need to get more lucky to get the 2-3 touchdowns from Baker here. Am I starting him versus Houston? Probably not. But once again, what's my other choice here? So that's where I would go with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. So my logic for not wanting to start Baker Mayfield this week is simply that, despite the gigantic team total, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt the Cleveland Browns rather just want to run the ball. You know, we even saw that when they played Kansas City last week. Baker actually looked really good. I thought that was one of the better games that Baker Mayfield has played in his NFL career. In the end, though, what did they do when they got inside the 10-yard line? They ran the ball. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, even Jarvis Landry scored a rushing touchdown in that game. And I'm pretty confident that that is how they are going to approach this game against Houston as well. Trevor Lawrence versus Denver, basically, I don't see a ton of garbage time developing there. And that's where Trevor Lawrence, basically they were down 20 points by the time that he started to deliver any kind of fantasy result in that game. And I just am not confident that we are going to get that garbage time. I think that that Denver-Jacksonville game actually might play out kind of similarly to what we see on Thursday night between the Washington football team and between the New York Giants. Moving on to our quarterback starts, I do feel very confident in these two guys. And so the criteria I'm using here is basically, you know, the expert consensus rankings on Fantasy Pros, guys who are outside the top 12 of their position at quarterback, and that criteria is met by both Tua and Matt Stafford, but both of them I would feel very comfortable starting this week. Where are you at on Tua and Matt Stafford?
Well, I'm not comfortable starting Tua whatsoever. Not whatsoever. I'm not against Tua. He's still learning the position. Will Fuller does come back this week, which really could be good and bad. I don't know how much they have in chemistry together, their first game back together. I think it's in a one quarterback start league, if you're starting Tua, I'm dying to know who your other quarterback is. You know, you didn't draft him to be your starter. So who are you starting him over? You pick off the waiver wire, who's your starting quarterback? Well, it can't be Fitzpatrick because he wasn't your starting quarterback either. So that's my first question there. Who are you killing here? Matt Ryan, because he looked awful last week? Okay, I could sort of see that. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I can't see that. And when I say Aaron Rodgers, that's not even a joke. I've seen leagues where Aaron Rodgers was dropped. You know, one thing about us fantasy players, we are a quick bunch. We get angry real quick, and we're moving on. All right, but that's crazy. I'm not starting Tua over anybody like that. So that's what I look at here. Who are you starting Tua over? I can see Matt Ryan. I'm okay with Matt Ryan. I'm looking at the schedule here. starting to see other guys I can start him over. Other than that, I mean, that you might have drafted Sam Darnold. Okay. They're playing a tough Buffalo Bills defense here. This is not a guy with a lot of upside here. I'm not starting Tua. Stafford's a definite yes for me. I have no problem starting Stafford. He's top 10 off me all year long. And they're going to throw the ball a bunch. Didn't Indianapolis get beat over the top several times by the Seahawks? Might happen again here. And give me Stafford.
All right, well, let me throw this one to you then, because this is actually a situation that I literally have these two guys. I have Tua and I have Trevor Lawrence on one of my high-stakes teams on the FFPC main event. We're benching Trevor Lawrence, and we are starting Tua. Which of those two guys would you start, Lawrence or Tua?
Boy, you waited a while at quarterback, huh? I waited a long time. I don't think I'd want to get caught. I have Tua in a deep dynasty league, and my decision is Tua or Carr this week. Neither one is a great matchup, and I am going with Tua. Lawrence, I do – what you said about Lawrence in the last part, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be garbage time this week. They're playing Denver, which I think is more close to the vest game here. Denver's a really good defense too. Yeah, I'm probably going with you here. I'll start him over with Lawrence as well. It's sort of a coin toss here, but I'll go with Tua there and hope he gets the touchdowns.
There we go. All right, so now we are moving to the running back position for start sits. These are definitely going to be more difficult because just the way fantasy football works, it's very unlikely that you have multiple good running back options because there just are not that many good running backs in fantasy football. So we always have to remember the context, but I think there are two pretty clear guys that I don't want to start at running back this week. So, you know, if you were able to pick up Tyson Williams, if you have James White, if you have Elijah Mitchell, I think that these are guys I would be looking to get out of my lineups if at all possible. The first one is Saquon Barkley. I know it sounds crazy. I know it seems insane, but I'll tell you right now, I did start one of my high stakes teams with Saquon Barkley in the second round, and we are sitting him for Elijah Mitchell, who plays the 49ers who plays the Philadelphia Eagles this week. So Saquon Barkley is on the bench, and James Robinson, I think he will eventually end up being fine, but he is losing a lot of work to Carlos Hyde. Very difficult matchup against the Broncos. I am out on Saquon, and I am out on James Robinson this week.
I think once again, in a vacuum, I agree with you on both. I don't want to start Barkley tonight at all. And it's not so much about being negative about Barkley, but it's what we talked about earlier. He was babied in week one. How is he not babied? We're talking about 4 days later. It's 4 days later. They've been talking about it. We don't know if he's going to get his normal complement of snaps tonight. He's going to play tonight. You know, he's questionable, but he'll play. But if he touches the ball 12 times, I think it'd be about my over-under, 12.5. I think they're going to baby him tonight. So, no, I want to sit Barkley. I hope I have better on my roster than Barkley here. And I would start all the guys you mentioned are there above him. Robinson, a little weird in Jacksonville because it looks like Robinson has the role right now that Travis Etienne would have had if he was healthy, right? And it's Carlos Hyde has the Robinson role from last year for whatever reason because Hyde can't do the Etienne role, so they switched him around. I do think Robinson might be okay in time, but I'm with you here. I have to bench him again because, once again, I don't know how many touches he's going to get, and it's against a tough defense. So, yes, if I can, I want to bench both.
Yeah. All right. There we go. And then finally, we have some running back starts. And these are also always kind of interesting, you know, running back starts, because the kind of running backs who you are debating, okay, do I want to start them? Do I not want to start them? You know, I mean, again, if you have Saquon Barkley or James Robinson and you spend an early pick on them, you probably feel pretty gross. But these are also guys you could be debating versus wide receivers in your flex, right? If you draft like me, you probably have a lot of really good wide receivers. Like, I'm asking myself, you know, do I want to start Chase Claypool or do I want to start Deebo Samuel? So those guys are not finding themselves on the bench for these two guys, Elijah Mitchell and Nyheim Hines. But Nyheim Hines actually was second on the team last week in targets for the Indianapolis Colts. I think that will continue. And I'm just ready and in on Elijah Mitchell. I think he is going to do great for the San Francisco 49ers. Are you in on these two guys as starts this week?
I am. I mean, listen, if you have Elijah Mitchell on your team, it probably means you spent a whole lot of fab last night because I saw the price he was going for, and I put in bids for him as well. I don't even think I came close. You generally had to bid about 65% of your fab minimum to get him last night. So, yeah, if I spent that kind of money, you're damn right. It probably means I was dying for a running back. He's playing this week. And listen, Philadelphia played well. Mike Davis still had about 50 yards rushing in a game where they didn't rush at all in the second half. They couldn't. They were getting crushed. So I'm good with Mitchell. Nyheim Hines, He's always going to be that flex guy for you. Good flex guy. He catches them. I'm talking PPR leagues here. I wouldn't start him in a standard league if anybody still plays those. But, yeah, give me Nyheim Hines as well because their volume is always going to be there. I think they're going to be trailing again. I think the Colts are going to be trailing again this week and have to throw the ball in the air. So I think Nyheim Hines, I would say his floor is almost certainly 8 to 12 points, and there's obviously some upside there. Give me some Hines.
Yeah, I think that the Hines thing is going to surprise some people because it really actually, at the end, it's not going to surprise me if Jonathan Taylor ends up being a, you know, top five, top six, top seven running back in the NFL. And Nyheim Hines also has, you know, like a running back 24, 25 season just off the strength of catching all of those passes. Everyone, we're going to go ahead and go into another break here on Fantasy Sports Today. We covered the easy positions. You pretty much know what quarterback, you pretty much know which running back you want to start. But we are going to do the difficult work at wide receiver and tight end in the second segment. When we return, stay on the grid. See you guys back in a few moments. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined today by George Kurtz. We just got it reported over the break. Adam Schefter from ESPN noted that wide receiver Jamison Crowder of the New York Jets has been activated. That's a fairly big deal for fantasy. Yeah, they're saved. I mean, it's a pretty big deal for fantasy because they were relying on Braxton Berrios and Jeff Smith and Denzel Mims at wide receiver last week. Keelan Cole also was not playing for the New York Jets. Their three wide receiver set should be Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, and Jamison Crowder. Now, I'm interested to see how Elijah Moore does on the outside for the New York Jets. I really liked Elijah Moore as a prospect, have him on a lot of my fantasy teams. So I'm pretty interested to see how those two things work out. We do have more starts and sits to go through, though. In the last segment, we went through quarterbacks and running backs. And look, you know, I think that is a good discussion to have, but start sits at wide receiver and tight end get a lot closer because you have lots of guys who are projected very close to each other in points. And obviously, we know that's not how it works in the real world. You sit a guy who goes for 30, you start a guy who goes for 5, and you felt like you did the right thing, but it doesn't feel very good when you get it wrong. So let's start here at wide receiver with sits. These are some guys who, if I have them on my teams, I am not starting. I'm going for some other options, maybe guys who I picked up off the waiver wire, maybe guys who I got a little bit later in my drafts. Cortland Sutton did not look good last week, even with Jerry Jeudy being injured in that game. He got only 3 targets, fewer targets than backup tight end Albert Okwuegbunam. Brandon Cooks, I know he had the strong game last weekend. Let's just say I am not a believer in the Houston Texans passing game. I don't think that will keep up. And Kenny Golladay in tonight's disgusting game against the Washington football team. I don't really want any players other than Antonio Gibson or Terry McLaurin going in that game. What are your thoughts on these three guys?
Disgusting game. Okay. It's harsher than even I said. Sutton. I wish I knew the answer here because I got to make this decision in a couple of leagues. And unfortunately, I don't have great options because in one league, I have Odell Beckham and he's not playing. I think Sutton will do better than Beckham this week. A little better. He had 2 whole points last week. And the other league, it's either Sutton, who I really don't want to start, or someone. Do I go to Noah Fant? I have Noah Fant and – or do I go to Kyle Pitts? I have Noah Fant and Kyle Pitts. I could put one of those tight ends in the flex instead. Those are decisions I'm rolling with. I also have Galladay in that league, and he's a definite no. I'm not starting Galladay. I don't want to start Galladay tonight at all. I hope I can move on from him. So he's an easy sit for me. Sutton, I don't want to. I want to find somebody else, even against a tasty matchup in Jacksonville, which is why it's so tough to sit him because we saw what Houston did to them. They put a lot of points there. I got to think Denver, they're not going to put up the points that Houston did because they're not going to play that kind of game here. But I got to think Sutton could eat this weekend, but I don't feel confident in it. I don't. So I want to sit Sutton. Depends what else you have in your roster. Galladay, I'm definitely sitting. Cooks, I'm probably starting. Once again, I don't know how deep I can go where I could sit Cooks again. I do think that once his best week of the season might have been week one, where we never see that again the rest of the season here. But I'm probably starting Cooks this weekend. I don't know that even if, unless I have somebody really quality, he's hot, I'm going to ride it. The match maybe plays out this week. But it is in the back of my mind that week one, that might have been Brandon Cooks' best week of the season.
Yeah, I really actually think that there is a chance that that was his best game of the season. And we just don't see, like, you know, if he doesn't get another 100-yard game, well, I guess at the end of the day, I would not be that surprised. And I could see the Courtland Sutton one burning me. Obviously, the absence of Jerry Jeudy should give him more targets, but I kind of think that KJ Hamler is a pretty decent player. You know, I think that Tim Patrick is a pretty decent player as well. So, you know, you can always get burnt starting a guy who is as good as Courtland Sutton, a guy who is as good as Brandon Cooks, right? And a guy who is as good as Kenny Galladay. All of those guys are very good wide receivers. But unless you're playing best ball, you have to make these decisions. A lot of the teams that I drafted are very heavy at wide receiver. That's where I spent most of my picks inside the top 10 rounds. So if you have the options, you know, I think that you probably need to move on. So now we're going to move to some of the guys that I want to start. And these would be guys who I definitely would consider starting over the three guys that we just talked about as sits. The first guy is Marquise Brown versus Kansas City. The second, Jalen Waddle versus Buffalo. And finally, Ja'Marr Chase at Chicago. Where do you sit on these three guys, George?
Yeah, listen, I think Baltimore's going to have to score some points. I think Marquise Brown to start for me. Probably a start in most weeks anyway, but I like what's going on there as far as I don't know how good the running game's going to be. The running game's a mess there, by the way. I don't know about you, but I was so curious what was going on with Baltimore on Monday night. Why also did Tyson Williamson disappear in the second half? Was there an injury? What happened here? Did he make Harbaugh mad? Well, yeah, he did make Harbaugh mad. Missed a block, got Jackson killed, and all of a sudden he was a milk carton guy again. And we see Harbaugh come out this week and say they're all going to play. Great. That's fun for fantasy. Be all the old Bill Belichick game there, but it's running back to guess each week. But I think they're going to throw the ball more anyway. So I like Marquise Brown. I like Chase for Chicago. I do. That was the weirdest thing I think I heard all preseason was that he couldn't catch the football because it didn't have the stripe around it that they have in college. Okay, that's a first for me. Never heard someone say that before. But he had no problems in week one. And they're going back to him. Break out the Bengals. They're going 2-0 this week. They're going to beat Chicago. And Andy Dalton's homecoming. Yay. Waddle versus Buffalo, I'm a little bit more worried about. I tell you, that defense of Buffalo is really, really good. I know you're big on Tua. I guess you're big on Tua this week. Might as well go Waddle and double up here. I'm probably not starting Waddle. I'm not going to test the Buffalo defense. I just don't see the upside here. And that's what I'm looking for. I think Waddle could have a solid game, but where's my upside? I hope somebody else on my roster can give me that. I'm probably sitting Waddle.
So the reason why I'm in on Waddle is I think a lot of teams against Buffalo are just going to be forced into very uncomfortable passing scripts. I mean, Buffalo threw the ball 53 times last week, and if they're doing that when they're ahead, right, because Buffalo is one of those teams that tends to throw the ball even when they're ahead, they made Zach Moss inactive last week. They had only two running backs active, Matt Breida and Devin Singletary. So Buffalo's up 10. Well, the other team is not going to be running, right? You're down 10, you're down 14, you're not going to be running the ball. And so I think Buffalo's going to play in a lot of high-scoring games. I think Buffalo is going to play in some games this year where there are, you know, over 100 total combined passing attempts. And those are definitely games where we want guys in our fantasy teams. Like we definitely want guys going for our fantasy teams. And it was also just reported that Will Fuller was not at practice today. Now, remember, he was suspended last week. He was not at practice today for an undisclosed reason. If Will Fuller does not play in week two, I would imagine that Jalen Waddle actually is going to look pretty favorable kind of as the top wide receiver there. feeling good about Marquise Brown. You know, even though the Ravens offense did not look particularly good, I thought Marquise Brown actually did look rather good. And then Ja'Marr Chase, this one feels pretty close. I mean, people who drafted Ja'Marr Chase definitely had to feel good about the 5-for-101 game in week one. But I also feel like there is this thing where we just think of the Chicago Bears as a good defense, even if they really haven't been that good in that long. So that's just always interesting. Moving now to the tight end position, I have three guys who, if I had them on my team, I would just not be that interested in playing this week. And I think there are waiver wire options that are better than all of these guys. Jonnu Smith ranked as the tight end 12 on Fantasy Pros expert consensus. Logan Thomas ranked as the tight end 8 on Fantasy Pros, and Austin Hooper as the tight end 16. Don't really love any of these guys. And we're going to talk in a second about some of the guys who I would start over them. Do you disagree with any of these three guys? Would you want to start any of them?
Well, it's not a matter of disagreeing. With Logan Thomas, now the Giants are much better against tight ends than they were 2 years ago. Just to remember a couple of years ago when they were horrific, you could start any tight end against the Giants. You wanted to start tight ends against the Giants. You were looking for them because they were just bad. They've gotten immensely better. But that being said, if you're not starting Logan Thomas, who are you assuming you didn't draft two tight ends? Maybe you did. So what tight end are you starting over him? Yeah, a lower, a guy in the 14, 16, are they going to really, any upside there? I don't know if I'm going to go that direction. I don't know if I could sit Logan Thomas or somebody, you know, some blog guy that's is what I'm going with. And if you only drafted Logan Thomas, are you really releasing somebody who might be able to help you during your bye weeks to get a tight end over Thomas this week? I asked if you have an IR slot open and one of you guys is hurt and you haven't replaced him yet, fine. And you want to slide a tight end in there and you're going to release him next week, I guess I'm okay with that. But I don't know too many guys I'm going to pick up off the waiver wire that I'm going to also plug in over Thomas. That's my only issue there. The other two guys, Jonnu Smith, I wasn't playing that game, Smith and Henry. No, thank you. I'll stay away from New England as a whole anyway there. So that's my only issue as far as Logan Thomas. I probably am not going to drop someone to replace Thomas this week. I'll roll up my starter here.
Yeah, well, you know, I definitely don't have Logan Thomas on any of my teams. I thought he was available at a pretty bad ADP this year. But, you know, there are some guys out there who were waiver wire pickups. Adam Trautman ran a route on 80% of dropbacks for the Saints last week. Dalton Schultz, Cole Kmet, some of those guys who were going in like the round 12 to 14 range. I would rather start all of those guys this week as opposed to starting Logan Thomas in a game that just does not promise very much scoring. But let's get into some of our specific tight end starts. I mean, of course, the aforementioned guys, Dalton Schultz and Cole Kmet, I would start this week. But these are even lower owned guys. So Gerald Everett against Tennessee. Tyler Higbee was not a low-owned guy, but is just a guy who I think Tyler Higbee could finish inside the top five at tight end this year. He played every single snap for the Los Angeles Rams offense last week, ran a route on 90% of dropbacks. And then Tyler Conklin played 75% of the snaps for the Minnesota Vikings. They played more three wide receiver stuff with KJ Osborne last week. I don't think they will do that moving forward. I think they'll move back to 12 personnel. And again, Tyler Conklin, a guy who's just kind of going to get a luck in into getting a fair amount of numbers. So Gerald Everett, Tyler Higbee, Tyler Conklin as our tight end streamers this week.
Yeah, I'm big on the Ram and the former Ram as well. I think both guys are – I think by the end of the year, they're both going to be top 10 tight ends. You know, that's how I feel about them. Seattle finally has a tight end they can use, right? Finally, it's been a while, it seems like, since Seattle's had a tight end they can play. I also like Seattle. I keep saying this. They've changed their offensive philosophy. They're going to let Russell Wilson be the man, throw the ball more. I think, obviously, that's great for everybody. It's great for Metcalf, great for Lockett, great for a tight end. It's just good rather than keep running into a wall sometimes, which is their philosophy was weird at times, even with Russell Wilson at quarterback. So, yes, like both those guys. Conklin, I think, is the flavor of the week kind of guy, which is fine. Yeah, if you're going to go play rotating tight ends week in and week out, he's the guy this week. I do like him this week as well. Next week, I may not like him as much. It will depend on who they're playing, how a defense plays against tight ends, what kind of score I think is going to happen. I think this week against Arizona, points are going to need to be put up on the board, and Conklin will be a part of the game plan.
Yeah. You know, I think that you're probably right. I mean, also just like we didn't talk about this stuff a ton in the preseason, but I philosophically just really like in 12-team PPR leagues, just streaming tight end. Don't fall in love with anyone. Be willing to drop Tyler Conklin for Blake Jarwin, you know, be willing to uh, be be willing to drop whoever, whatever. Okay, you know, if you have Robert Tonyan and the Packers look bad against this week, drop Robert Tonyan if you need to, and pick up Tyler Conklin or pick up Cole Kmet, or if Jimmy Graham, you know, shows out for the Bears this week, or Juwan Johnson looks again. So that's a strategy that I really enjoy. So I hope that those quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end start sits were very helpful. You can always reach out to us on social media and let us know about those things. We always would like to, return to what the people like on the show. We are going to head into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. Stay tuned for the second hour of the show. Plenty more news and notes to come your way. See you guys in a few moments. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. And I got to be honest with everyone. It's football season. It's NFL football season. It's college football season. I have not watched a baseball game in, I don't know, three or four weeks at this point. So, George, you got to update me. What are we watching for? What's going on this weekend? You know, the NL wildcard race, I'm lost on it. I think the Padres are terrible now. I think if my Twitter timeline is telling me the truth, what just bring me up to speed on baseball.
I mean, the fact that the Padres don't look like they're gonna make the playoffs is blowing my mind. I mean, you're talking about I don't want to call it a choke job, but I mean, come on. I mean, you're the Padres. You made all these moves during the offseason. You're not gonna make it. It looks like the Cardinals are going to make it, and we all. And I mean, everybody blasted the Cardinals at the trade deadline. When who did they add? They added John Lester and J.A. Happ. I mean, those are two veteran guys who, with softball picks, weren't getting anybody out. But they've helped. They've given them innings. The team has played better. They're in position to win that wild card. I believe right now they're in the wild card position. And why are they in that position, Brett? Oh, because they swept the Mets. Right? They went three straight against the Mets and put themselves in that position. So, yeah, the wild card is what we're watching here. Right, if you don't like the National League wild card race, well, then you got the American League wild card race. Right, Yankees are taking the first two from Baltimore to beat Minnesota on Monday. So technically, right now, the Yankees, Blue Jays, and Red Sox are all tied for the two wild card spots. The Yankees right now would get in over the Red Sox if you care about that, because by percentage points, they play a little less games there. Athletics 3.5 games behind. That's all the last 3 weeks are going to be. We pretty much know who's going to win the divisions here. It's all about these wild card races. And Davis, I want to see a four-way tie, because I want to see a nice round robin before we even get to the playoffs that first week in October.
You know what? That's actually what I'm rooting for now. A four-way tie would be amazing. I'm also sitting here looking at the standings and seeing that the Padres are a 75-win team, 19.5 games back of the San Francisco Giants. Definitely put that on a bingo card of things that people did not expect to see happen this season. Everyone, we're running into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. Kripkowski will be bringing you a news update, and we'll see you back at the top of the hour.